He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then they got out on land. They saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said, then bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of a large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples there to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, there is an illustration I've used some time ago that I'd like to revisit. It's about a little boy by the name of Johnny and his sister named Sally. They had gone to their grandparents' house to visit for a few weeks during the summer. And when they got there, the grandfather had made Johnny a slingshot out of a crotch of a tree and an inner tube from a bike tire, and it had power. And Johnny grabbed a handful of rocks, headed off to the tree line, and began to shoot at everything in sight with little or no success at all. As lunch approached, he made his way back to the house, and in the front yard was Grandma's prized duck. He said, I'm going to shoot at it because I'm not going to hit it anyway. I'm going to scare it. So he pulls it back and hits it dead in the head, and it drops over on sight. What do you do when you kill Grandma's duck? You cover up your sin and you shove it into the wood pile, and maybe she'll think the wood fell on it, died there. But when he turned around, he noticed that Sally was watching him, and she said nothing. Well, when lunch was over, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash dishes together. And Sally said, no, Johnny told me that he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny? And she whispered, remember the duck. So Johnny laughed, or not laughed, Johnny was chagrined and did the dishes. Later on that day, Grandpa asked the children if they wanted to go fishing, but Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help me stay in the house to help me make supper. And Sally says, no, that's all taken care of. Johnny said he'd help you. Remember the duck. And Sally went fishing. You have to understand that Sally was kind of, that kind of girl that took advantage. And it went on for day after day after day. Until finally Johnny had had enough of doing all of his sister's chores. And he went to his grandma and says, Grandma, I have a confession to make. Well, what's that? You know your duck, right? I haven't seen it for a few days. Have you seen it, Johnny? Grandma, I didn't mean to, but I shot myself, but I killed it, and I put it in the wood pile. And Sally saw me do it. And Grandma says, she goes, I know. I saw the whole thing from the window. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you were going to allow your sister to make you a slave. My dear friends in Christ, I want to take a little survey. Has anyone ever let you down, broken a promise to you? Raise your hand. Has that ever happened? Okay, a little closer to home. Now, if you have the courage, have you ever broken a promise or let somebody else down? Some of you aren't being honest. See, the point being is that we all let others down. We all fail. We all fall short. We all sin. And the reality is that our sin just leads us to a point of feeling guilt all the way to the depths of our souls. In our gospel lesson for the day, I want you to notice what Jesus does with the disciple who had let him down. A disciple who had sinned against him. A disciple who had failed. See, the fact of the matter is, this disciple had been called to be a fisher of men. This disciple, often in a joyous, youthful enthusiasm, would open his mouth just long enough to fit his foot firmly into it. This disciple would often act first and then think about what he was going to do second, regretting it later on. But his denial of Jesus weighed heavy upon the heart of Peter. After all, Peter was the one that stood there and told Jesus, even if they all fall away, I will never leave you. In fact, I will die with you. But deny him he did. Not once or twice, but three times. Now Peter deals with the guilt of what he has done. In so many ways, Peter must have thought to himself, I'm not worthy to be a disciple, and Jesus could never forgive me. I'm not fit to do the work of the Lord. Now remember, this is post-resurrection. This is the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples. Peter had saw the risen Lord twice before. But in our text, he tells the other disciples, I'm going fishing. In other words, I don't know what else to do. I'm no longer worthy to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, so I'm going to fit back into my own life, my previous life as a fisherman. That's all I have left because I have failed the Lord and I am guilty and I cannot even forgive myself. So Peter goes off into the boat with guilt weighing around his neck and returns to his old way of life. You know how that feels? You let somebody down, you break a promise, and you rewind it again and again and again in your mind, thinking to yourself, what a loser I am. How could I have done it? I can't believe it. Even if you hurt them unintentionally, the guilt is overwhelming. See, the reality is that forgiving yourself is not as easy as it looks to everyone else. I recently read a little silly story about a guy who was crossing the street. He steps off the curb and there comes a car screaming around the corner, so the guy kind of double times it, goes faster. The car changes the lane that he's in, and he goes forward, he starts to go back, and the car changes lanes again, and the guy is so scared and petrified that he just freezes right where he's at. The car swerves at the very last second, and the driver rolls down the window, and it's a squirrel. And the squirrel says to the guy, see, it's not as easy as it looks. My dear friends in Christ, it's not as easy as it looks. When you're trying to forgive yourself for something that you have done wrong, that has desperately hurt someone else. See, there are certain things that you and I have done in our lives that we punish ourselves for. Again and again and again, and it goes on. It seems to me as if the guilt is almost impossible to overcome. So what can we glean from the gospel lesson for this morning? To help us deal with the sins of the past that continue to weigh upon us. The first thing I want you to notice is, who goes looking for who? Peter's not looking for Jesus. In fact, Peter's fleeing. It's Jesus who goes looking for Peter in spite of all that he had done, in spite of all of his failures. Jesus had not given up on him. He still loved him. The second thing I want you to notice is that Jesus invites Peter and the other disciples to breakfast over a charcoal fire by saying the words, come have breakfast. Now there are two times in Scripture that we see a charcoal fire, and as Peter walks up upon this fire kindled on the beach, to him it must have rewound to the past what had happened before, just a few days before in the high priest's courtyard as he warmed himself by the fire on the night that he betrayed Jesus. Was this Jesus' way of giving Peter an object lesson of the denial of him, of Christ that he had done? I don't know, but for Peter, it must have weighed upon him heavy. Just waiting for a rooster to crow to remind him even further of what he had done. When he approaches the fire, now Jesus could have said a lot of things to him. Jesus could have said, Peter, why? Why did you do it? Peter, how could you do that? And how could I ever trust you again? Are you really sorry? Are you really repentant of what you have done? Jesus doesn't say any of that. He looks at Peter, who had denied him three times, and says, come. Come. We know that Jesus took the initiative to seek Peter out. We know that Jesus invited Peter back into fellowship with him over breakfast by a fire. But he also calls out to you and me. In the midst of our failures, our shortcomings, and our sins, and he says to you and me to come. Sadly, too often, especially when experiencing that inward pain, we don't pick up on Jesus' invitation at all. In fact, we're just stone deaf to it. We don't hear Jesus say, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Why? Gracious invitation. Why don't we hear it? Because too often we're beating ourselves up over the past and we're stuck in the guilt of past sins. Yet Jesus calls to us, "Come. Come. Come enjoy the day. Enjoy my presence. Come. Come. You are invited. Come, I love you." But so often we feel unworthy, and so often our guilt just keeps us away. You know, I think one of the biggest obstacles to self-forgiveness is often the tendency to wallow in our self-guilt. Not only do we wind it back again and again and again, and you know what I'm talking about, the sins of the past that no one else around you, including your spouse or your closest friends, know about, the things you have done that you are ashamed of, that you can't go back and fix and amend. Satan knows what they are, and he continues to rewind them again and again and again, and we refuse to push the stop button for self-suffering. There are times we use it as a blanket and we pull it tied up around our neck, kind of like a sadistic self-penance, that we must suffer a little bit before Jesus could ever forgive me, that I must bear the cross for what I've done, and I have to be crucified in order for Jesus to ever love me. Peter could have refused to come to the meal. "No, I've been around a fire before, Jesus. No, thank you. I don't want to risk it because I know what I've done in the past, and I've sinned against you, and I don't want to take the chance that it's going to happen again. So no, thank you." But he comes. And Jesus says, "Bring some of the fish that you just caught." I find it interesting because the fish are already cooked. They're not feeding themselves. Jesus is going to feed them. He says, "Bring some of the fish that you just caught." And Peter goes aboard and sifts through them and finds out there's 153. I don't know about you, but numbers in Scripture bug me. What does it mean, 153? It's just a random number we're throwing out there. There was one commentator who said the number was significant. Because in those days, and especially among the fishermen, they would have understood that there were 153 different species of fish in the Sea of Galilee. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it makes good sense that Jesus is saying, "Come, bring them. Bring all of them." Because all men are sinful. And he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. So bring them all in. You know, the imagery of them in the boat throwing the net over the side is a beautiful imagery of the church. Isn't that who we are? The nave means boat. Looks like a boat upside down to me. We gather here, but as this service ends, you're thrown back out on the community as the net that God uses to bring others into this place. And he doesn't limit it. He truly does want all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the forgiveness this day is not just for Peter, it's for the other disciples that had denied Christ as well. Dear friends, we need to deal with our past in order to experience not only the forgiveness that Jesus brought to us on the cross, but to understand that his grace is sufficient for you. That's right, his grace is sufficient to forgive you all of your sins. His grace is sufficient enough that you may lay down your guilt of the past sins and shortcomings and never pick it up again. His grace is sufficient that you may have a new beginning. When you were growing up, did you ever hear the words "do-over"? When I was in elementary school in Newman Grove, Nebraska, we used to play kickball out in the playground. And a do-over would be when you kicked the ball and it cleared the fence out. It was still, I mean, technically it wasn't a foul ball. It's over the fence. They would say do-over. Because it's not fair to have the offensive team score a run with nobody ability to put you out. And so they just like, do over, do. And so the batter got to go up and kick the ball again. It was awesome. My point is this. In the face of your sin, God gives you and me a do-over, a fresh start, a new beginning. He demonstrates that to Peter by saying, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He called him by name. In the same way that our Heavenly Father calls you by name when water is poured and words are spoken, He calls you by name. The prophet Isaiah says, but now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You heard the word of the Lord calling you when the water was poured. Jesus then asked Simon, son of John, three times, do you love me? Was this to remind Peter of the three denials? Perhaps. But there's more to it than that. When Jesus asked Simon Peter if he loved him, he used specific words to know the specific type of love that he would have for him. And the word Jesus uses is the word we translate as agape. Agape love is the love of total commitment, a love that is self-sacrificial, the love that has no strings attached and lacks and holds nothing back. In essence, Jesus was explaining to Peter the kind of sacrificial love it would take to reinstate him. The Apostle Paul says God demonstrates His own love, agape, for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. This morning, you and I are a lot like Peter. There are times we just kind of want to turn our back and walk away with our tails between our legs, thinking there's no hope, God can never love me for what I've done. And the list of reasons why goes on and on and on. But Jesus continues to call out to you, come. Come. This morning, I'm going to encourage you to listen to His voice and to come and to kneel before His altar as you are able to taste and see that He is truly good. Come. Come unto Him and receive rest for your soul. Come unto His altar and lay the burden of past sins down and leave them there. Come. What are you waiting for? Come and be reinstated. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.